Live, what's going on, YouTube? Welcome back to the Over Sharon Show, the best darn show on the internet. And of course, we're live, so and my mouse like dies on me. I mean, it doesn't die, but it. I don't see. I have an Apple. I have a Mac Mini. There we go, and I have it set up with a mouse that's not an Apple mouse. So sometimes what happens is you know how you have the Apple functions where you can like do certain things? Well, I can't spread all my windows when it does that. So now I'm just stuck on one window, but I'm gonna remedy it right now. But anyway, we wanted to talk a little bit until people got in here anyway. So yeah. I guess that'll be cool for us.
That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, we just so what's going on with you? Oh, it's Cody's birthday. Shout out to Cody. He's in the chat. Yeah. Happy belated birthday, even though I did say happy birthday to you.
Yeah, at the Dell Paxton. That was his birthday yesterday.
Yeah.
And I got him a cameo through Jim Bob's little cameos that he does.
Nice. Oh, what's up, QSB? Chris is in the chat. Party on, Wayne. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I tuned in for that when you texted me.
Yeah, so fun stuff. I'm trying to find my notes.
No, it's crazy. I was listening. Distracted. Oh no, it's all right. I'm trying to get my mouse to work. Guys, we're live. We're, you know, you have to give us a little bit of leeway. We're just gonna talk for a little bit until we get a couple more people in here, and we're gonna start our presentation that we have. Let's see.
No, we don't have like a presentation or anything. We're just
Yeah, exactly. I can't. Oh, we have seven people.
We can't even, do we?
Oh, it says seven concurrent viewers. Yeah, nice. And the average duration time is 7 seconds. Well, that's from before because it didn't refresh. That's pretty funny. So on my screen it says 7:07. What a surprise. But I was actually listening to Dune Messiah, which is the Dune book that Frank Herbert wrote after Dune, because he wrote six books, I believe. So it's the one after that. And there's actually, I think, 12 years in between those two books. So his son and this other co-author guy that they have, they've been writing other books. So they put one in between. But anyway, I was listening to the that Dune Messiah, and basically, spoiler alert, you know, Paul Atreides, the one that's the hero, he gets like very disillusioned with what happens after. And he's going to this thing. So he basically is walking through the crowd, and everybody knows him as like Muad'Dib, the emperor or whatever. Everybody like loves him. He's like a religious figure at this point. They're worshiping him like he's a god. That's so funny. We're going to be talking about this stuff today. So his sister is like a priestess. So he's walking somewhere later. He's got to do this meeting or whatever. It's like a clandestine thing. So he just goes out in the crowd with like a hood on. Someone recognizes him. And he's in his sister's, it's like an outdoor thing where she's called the Oracle or whatever. And while he's there, he's like, how could anybody expect to take everybody's like belief system and basically just press it into one thing? Like how could it be a one size fits all kind of thing? I was like, is he watching our show?
Is he hearing us talk about what we're going to talk about on our notes?
I think so. I know. And it was funny because I cooked some food. And then when I was relaxing before the show, I figured I'd listen to a little bit of Dune. And that was the part that went on. I almost recorded it and sent you a voice message. But
oh, man, that's amazing.
Yeah. And then on my way down here in the basement, I have to walk through the cellar side. And this is like a finish side to get here because there's two doors. One's kind of blocked, but anyway, the furnace is down here, and there's a giant puddle of water under the furnace as I was coming down here. So I guess there's a release where there's a bucket or whatever. It's an overflow, and it just filled up, and my dad forgot to empty it. He never told me about it, but he's like, oh, yeah, I got to empty it once in a while. So I had to go get him and help him clean up some water. So could that be a symbol? Is that a sign?
Water, emotions.
Yeah. Water on the floor.
Spilled milk. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, spilled milk. Spilt milk.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, cool. Let's see. How long have we been wasting time for now?
Like a few minutes.
5 minutes. Anybody have any questions or comments they want us? Let's see. Let's go through the chat. Give some shout outs. What up, Caribe Root? I'm in two places at once, only possible by internet magic. Awesome.
What's She's up, in Del? Another meeting.
Oh, is she? We won't tell him. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We encourage that. I already said what's up to Chris, but I'll say it to him again. What's up, Chris? How you doing? Andrew Barnage. What's up, Andrew? Thank you for coming in and hanging out with us. Brandon Bonanza, that's me. Thank you for hanging out with me. Sharon, thank you for hanging out in our chat, Sharon.
I know.
I wanted to thank everybody.
Caribe was saying that her son has the same birthday as Cody. There were so many, like, as Cody was telling people that it was his birthday or whatever, or the topic came up, and I was telling people too, like, I think we counted like at least seven people that were like, oh, it's my so-and-so's birthday, or it's my son, or it's my husband's, or like seven or eight people besides Cody.
Wow.
Like, I don't know. It's never happened before where I just like, I'm meeting people who have the same exact birthday as, you know, somebody that I mentioned or something.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy. My brother's birthday's Sunday.
Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. A lot of, Torian. Well, actually it's changing over to a.
Oh, do we lose her? Are we still live, everybody?
Oh, really? Are we live? Are we not live?
No, we're still live. I think you just
see us on. I see us on YouTube, but yeah. It looks kind of blurry. Oh, that it cleared up.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, I was gonna say. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, speaking of birthdays, when I was in the car business, I was the illustrious hustler. Oh my God, it's so crazy. I know I'm so distracted right now, but you see this. The mouse cursor is like right on it on my screen. I would just look down. I'm like, what is that? Anyway, when I was in the car business, I had these two customers and I was selling them a car. So I had their license. I had to make a copy of it. And as I was doing the paperwork, I saw that their birthday was both July 2nd, which is my birthday. Did I ever tell you that story?
I don't know.
So crazy. So three of us all had the same different ears, though. Who said hi?
Well, I mean, he's saying we look okay.
Oh, he's looking okay. Okay, good. Yeah. Good. All right, cool. Well, I guess we can begin now. We wasted enough time. again, welcome everybody to the Over and Sharon Show, the best darn show on the internet. And we have a quote. We have actually two quotes today. Sharon's going to read two quotes.
I am, because it's crazy because as we were talking about this topic in the last week or two, these quotes came up. I just saw them and I'm like, wait, those are so relevant for the topic we're going to cover. One of them is, knowledge can be communicated, but not wisdom. One can find it, live it, be fortified by it, do wonders through it, but one cannot communicate and teach it. And that is by Hermann Hesse. And I guess, did he write a book called Siddhartha?
Oh, maybe. Siddhartha, the name of Buddha?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just quoting from a meme I saw on the internet, so I could be wrong. But anyway, it was very relevant.
It's the internet, everybody. You get it.
Yeah. So the next one is allegedly by somebody named Jiddu Krishnamurti. And this one says, wisdom is not the accumulation of knowledge and experience. Wisdom is not acquired from books, from ceremonies, or by compulsion. Wisdom comes into being only when there is freedom of the mind, and a still mind will find the timeless, which is the immeasurable come into being. And I don't know if that's copy pasted correctly, because it sounds a little weird, but anyway, it was very relevant to the conversation that Brandon and I had. So
yes, very relevant today's episode, everybody. You're going to love it. We're talking about materialism. I have my material cards in front of me. These things are so real, aren't they, Sharon?
Look, feel real.
You could feel them. Look, hear it. Come on, that's real. What are you trying to say? Look,
see, can you hear me shuffle?
Oh, yeah. Listen, guys, it's sound waves. It's matter. Matter matters, all right?
That's why it's called matter.
It's material. All right, we're just gonna go like this. Like, all right. Ooh.
What is it?
The Chariot.
Moving right along.
Let me pin myself right quick. If you may. I made a Foghorn Leghorn reference the other day. Gotta keep my feathers numbered in the chat last week. We're talking about feathers. Because we were talking about ruffling feathers. I didn't get that till halfway through. I was like, oh yeah, ruffling feathers. Anyway, the Chariot. It's funny. I was just speaking with somebody who's in our chat. It's a new person, a newcomer. Will remain nameless because it's the internet, but they did a reading and they asked me about it. They wanted me to give an interpretation. So the Chariot was one of the cards that they got. Look at that synchronicity. And how many viewers did we have earlier, Sharon? 7 viewers.
Mm-hmm.
With 7 second concurrent, whatever. Yeah. Now we're up to 9, but that's still the 7. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So the Chariot represents so many things. You know what? Let me just do this. Let's see if I can.
I think you're still on.
Oh, I'm still on me. Sorry, guys. There we go.
Every time I talk, it switched to me. So that's how I know.
Oh, okay, cool. That's how we knew. All right. So I'll look it up in the book that comes with it because this book is really good. All right. So the Chariot. Oops, one more page. One more. I love being live. The Chariot. The angel's name depicted is Jehudiel. Jehudiel is known as the angel of direction and endeavor. He provides motivation and confidence to people who seek his guidance to get help, to help get things done. In this card, he embodies the role of the charioteer. All right. And then the symbols, the red cape. Red is the color, is a symbol of high energy. And the way it rises up behind the angel suggests movement. Horses. As one horse in light color and the other is dark, they represent opposing forces. Their bodies move in opposite directions, yet they face each other. This suggests that they differ. They can still work together. And the star is the chaos star, symbol between the two horses. It represents energy. And the direct meaning, having complete control of a situation, managing all the moving parts to accomplish a goal, having the discipline, drive, and tenacity to achieve success, no matter what it takes, force of will, determination. Recognizing that the way things come together, including timing, outside forces, coincidence, and your own pivotal role, contribute to why something is successful. Making things go your way, getting what you want. The angelic message is, take care when pushing towards a goal. Putting too much pressure on yourself can lead to burnout. And what good comes from that? All right. Not bad.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a good, I like
action. This. We create our reality.
This is the influence of the angels, everybody. So it's very, kind of goes along what we're talking about today a little bit tonight, I would say. All right. Well, I guess without any further ado, we can get into, we have 10 viewers, so we can go now. Some people wait for 1,000. We wait for 10. That's all we need. Give me 10 good men and women, living men and women. All right. So today we're going to be talking about materialism as we put, and you could see in the artwork, the lovely artwork that we created with the picture from Sedona, Arizona, when Sharon and I got together. That was a good time. So first thing we want to do is we're going to talk about a couple things in the beginning that we talk about a lot, but it's a good opening for this and what we're going to talk about. One of them is how we have words and we use words to communicate, and speaking is really our prime form of communication. And we've always said that, or I've pointed out a bunch, that there's a problem with words, especially the English language anyway, because the words are so open to interpretation. And then it's actually really confusing because there's homonyms, there's words that sound like each other that aren't each other, which kind of screw things up a little bit. And then there's sarcasm and puns.
And then there's astrotheology, which means that it's all the same and all related.
Exactly. We'll see. People like Sharon and myself, we've studied symbolism a lot and different things. So we tend to, or I know I could speak for myself, I tend to see a lot of allegory, I could just say, I guess, in what people say. Even when I'm just like, even if I'm reading something, like say I'm reading the Bible or a religious text, or someone's telling me a dream that they've had, I take the symbolic level, I guess you could say, of the word and see what makes sense in a true way, or what makes sense true to me. It's kind of like the trivia method we were talking about. I filter it through my own brain, or whatever you want to say, my being. And then I come up with what makes discernment sense to me. Yeah, my discernment. Exactly. And a lot of times what happens is, especially when we talk about this in division too, especially with like religions or belief systems or any of this stuff, words, when people are communicating them to each other, or, you know, when we're having a conversation, this is the way I'll say it. I'm trying to paint a picture in somebody's head. I have a picture in my head with what I'm like, all right, this is what I want to communicate to them. This is what it is. I speak it to them with the words that I have. Now, as they input it, those words could have different meanings to them. They could have different triggers involved, you know, depending on whatever happened in their life. They have a totally different circumstance of living up to this point than I do. So they're going to view that word in their own way. And it could even have a total definition difference. I mean, think of like, you know, who's bad, like the word bad, who's is bad? Bad good? Yeah, bad meaning bad, or bad meaning good, you know, like to quote Run DMC, not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good.
And like Michael Jackson, who's bad?
I saw a license plate the other day. It said MJ for Eva. And I sent it to Dwayne because he like loves Michael Jackson. And yeah, good times anyway. So I've been seeing a lot of crazy numbers on plates lately. I don't know. They started numbering plates differently in Connecticut. Before, it would be like three numbers and three letters. Now they have two letters and like tons of numbers. And I mean, I've just been seeing insane like twos everywhere and like 11s. It's been great.
They've changed the way they do it in Arizona too recently.
Yeah, I think they're getting a lot more people at cars or something. I don't know. Who knows? They ran out of the original. It's like when they had to, change. I had the same zip code for my whole life. And then maybe about 10 or so years ago, they changed it. Parents' house. But yeah. I was living in the area town where it was still the old zip code. And it was,
I was the opposite. I think I think my family stayed, and where I lived, which was only like a couple miles away or even a mile away, was like, had to change. It was funny.
Oh yeah. That's how it is. There's like a road here. It's Route 1, which goes all the way from Maine to Florida. But, here you have like Southern Milford and Northern Milford, I guess. But anyway, so it's 06460, which is great, 'cause it's the same forward and backwards. So I always knew it. It's a palindrome. And now I had to change it with my bank when I changed addresses, but sometimes my card only works with the old zip code and sometimes it works with the new zip code.
Wow.
Thanks, TD Bank. It's so weird. I don't know if there's, I have no idea, but I know that anyway. So words, everyone. But you guys, voids, you know, we're talking about voids, but you guys heard us talk about that before, where people just take things differently. And, you know, I see it a lot too, just with different friends growing up. I've always been the one to kind of be like, wait a minute, this isn't what he means. This is what he means. Like I actually just went with my woman to North Carolina, and we went to her mother's house, and her mother and stepdad live there. And she was having a conversation. Maybe it was with her mother. I can't remember. But I think she might have been misunderstanding, or somebody was. So I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, this is what they mean. And they're like, oh, thank you so much. I'm like, no, this is what I'm good at. Like, I know.
Me translate.
Yeah, let me translate, because I know how you're taking it. But I, you know, you're right and you're right. Hang on a second. So that's just what we do with the show. But yeah, it's the same thing with words, because that's what happens a lot of times. I see that it's just the words that trip people up. It could even be the slang. Yeah. Go ahead.
And we're going to talk about how, like, some things just aren't able to be expressed. And Brendan has said many times as well about, that's why symbolism is more useful, because it packs the meaning better than a word, which can mean a lot of different things to different people.
And you can change the meaning of words, but if you have a symbol that's the sun, that's not gonna, everyone is gonna know, you know, like if you see a sun, you're always gonna equate that, well, who knows, but
could
these, you're always gonna equate it with like warmth and life and like good, you know, things and hot and maybe too power, like a lot of power and all this stuff, you know. But if you see the word sun, what are you talking about? You're talking about like the sun in the sky, somebody's sun, like what up sun, you know?
Yeah, if you say sun, which sun are you saying? S-U-N, S-O-N?
Sunny, is it somebody's name, you know? I mean, who knows? Yeah, so we definitely like to make that distinction with symbolism. And I realized that when I was getting into the tarot. And you know, the only thing with symbols though is they could be inverted, and we're going to get into that actually. I got some pictures of things that we can put up really quick. Remember we were talking about the pentagram? Spoiler alert, everybody, we're going to break down the pentagram in a little bit, but I got some pictures I found on the internet that I'm going to share as we're talking about it. So the first thing we want to talk about with materialism is kind of our stance on the realm. So we always talk about division, and this doesn't matter. We don't care if you think the earth is a round ball and we're in space. We don't care if you're a flat earther. We don't care if you're simulation theory, hollow earth, any of that stuff. Like I always will talk to anybody about that and try to get what I can out of them. But we kind of identify as realm earthers. And what we mean by that is that we're in some kind of spiritual realm. And the best way to really describe it is to kind of negate what the other things are. So if you think that we live on a round ball, you know, in space and all that stuff, we're on a rock, we're on something hard and material. Oh, it's a flash. Sorry, I thought there was lightning outside. I'm like, what the heck is somebody, I guess is crossing with a flashlight. Maybe it was probably my brother shining it down here because he lives right behind us.
Oh, okay.
So what's it? Yeah. And they always take little baby Mackenzie. She was over today. Oh my gosh, she's starting to talk and stuff now. So hilarious. Oh,
so adorable.
Yeah, she's like she'll be 2 in August. So
wow.
So she's running around.
I can't believe that. That flew by.
Yeah, tell me about it. It's nuts. So anyway, back to flat earth. then also if you look at flat earth, so the mainstream, well, I guess you could say mainstream flat earth, whatever, the people who, you know, are the biggest people about flat earth, they say we're in this, on this landmass with a dome over us. And to me, I'm not inside their heads, but when I hear them talking about it, people talk about the dome and fixed fast, hard dome, and like, you know, you can't get out of it. It sounds like materialism a little bit to me, like it's a hard surface, like it's actually a matter, something that's matter. And then simulation theory is the closest really to realm theory, but that also has in it the idea that there's people outside somewhere like Neo plugged in, you know, laying somewhere sleeping or whatever. And then their brain is inside a computer, which is also some kind of physical object, you know. But as we always say with their theory, even if you look at mainstream science, they'll tell you that if you zoom in on something with a telescope, with a microscope, and you go all the way in, don't zoom, just take the telescope and turn it around. And you go all the way. It's just energy. There's just like, you know, molecules and atoms and photons. And
there's so much space.
Yeah, photons, that's what it is. And there's all this space, and everybody be like, we're like basically made of nothing. It's just little pieces of whatever. And if you get into like string theory or whatever, or this newer level of physics that keeps trying to keep that materialism thing alive, they'll tell you that it's, you know, energy at some point. So Sharon and I, right, this is what I've kind of started talking about, and I'm getting Sharon on board, or she's starting to get on board all by herself. I'm not starting a cult here, everybody. But is that if this is true, if it's just energy, right? And even if we look at it with the most advanced telescope, microscope that we can, it's all energy. Then what if this all is just energy and we are really just energy? And somehow we're having this experience where we believe it's a physical experience, and it's nothing I can explain. I don't know how it can happen. I can kind of point to it in symbolism. Like if I see the eight and where it crosses in the middle, there's like a cross, and think about the most important symbol on this planet, in this realm.
In this world.
So indoctrinated.
In this world.
The strongest symbol in this world right now is the cross, right? It's Jesus died on the cross, right? It's a cross. So maybe that's the symbol, but somehow, or maybe that's what that symbol is pointing to, but somehow the wires got crossed with the energy and we're having this experience where we could feel motions
material.
Material, like touch, and feel like we can have interaction and move things around. And we could also, because of that, we have free will, because we get to choose what we want to do. Because it seems that maybe as energy, we don't really get choices. We're kind of just summoned to wherever it is. But here in this realm, we're the boss. Well, we think so anyway.
Yeah. And just to clarify, I didn't need Brandon to tell me this, but like we've talked about it before, and I've come to those conclusions because of other things I've seen myself, and the same concepts that Brandon talks about, like scientists have talked about it a lot for a long time, that we're just energy, just in motion, basically. So with that, along with the stuff that Eileen McCusick talks about with the biofield and how we are basically, we are energetic beings. We're energy beings. We're electric. All that kind of got me to the place where it makes way more sense to me that we're more than just, we're something more than material. We're something that is probably not material. Like we're having a material experience, but yeah, it's energy in motion.
Exactly. And so we could talk about that. You know, I could say everything I said, we could explain it all, and people be like, yeah, that sounds like a cool idea, man. You know, and but why does it matter? Right? Why why does it matter? The language, man. It's so crazy. But you know, people be like, why does it even matter? Who cares? Or yeah, that's cool, but how does it affect my life? Well, guess what? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about exactly how that can affect somebody's worldview and, you know, give people blind spots that they might not even be aware of. Sharon, you have anything to say about that? I want to light my thing, so.
Yeah, and when we say worldview, it's like you could substitute that with cosmology. You could substitute that with like how you, I mean, it's, I don't know if that needs explanation, but it's like, how do you see this world? What's your belief system in what this world is, basically?
Yeah. And what your purpose is, what's the meaning of life?
Your purpose.
What's your purpose? So the first thing I'm going to do is we're going to break this down with symbolism to describe the different points of view, right? Symbolically, which would be materialism and I guess spirituality or whatever, or, you know, energism. So let me just point though. We'll show the first one, which is the right side up. So this is a, oh, no, that's the wrong one. Hang on a second.
Oh, really?
Well, what's it showing? Is it showing the right side up one?
Water, spirit, air, fire, earth.
Oh, okay, it is. All right. When I did that, it put the other picture right. Oh, I know why, because I'm full screen. All right. So you have the five-sided star. So what this represents are the four elements, air, earth, fire, water, the four common elements, right, are all subservient and in working in conjunction, working together to create spirit. So you can even look at them as they're the same thing. Spirit is water, fire, earth, and air combined, if you wanted to look at it that way. That's how I think you could say it's a spiritual realm, right? It's all broken down that way. But in this representation with the pentagram up, with the point up and the two points down, it's symbolizing that spirit is more important than all these. They're the foundation of it, maybe, but it's saying that spirit is the most important, right? It's the most, the truest that you have to worry about. So it's basically saying that matter doesn't matter. Matter doesn't matter, man. And shout out to whoever made this. I can't see the name. Magic Lollies?
Can't tell. Maybe? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really cool picture. And then we're going to find another one, which is the other, the evil one. Ooh, it's evil. Where is it? Okay, here it is. Actually, I found one that's not too menacing. I found one that's not too menacing. So what you see here is
what you get. Just kidding.
Exactly. What you see is what you get. So here you think of the other one, right? With the four elements, the earth, wire, the earth, water, fire, and air. And then you have spirit below them. So this just, if you even take it as a person, the other one is a person who regards spirit above all the other elements. And this is a person who would regard the elements, the material, over the spiritual. And you can even sum that up to say this just represents somebody who fears, has fear about what's going to happen and doesn't think the world is perfect and wants to change everything because they don't trust the plan, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And I can already hear all you people, you're a new ager. We'll get to that. We are not new ages here on the Overshan Show. We're a new age. We're old age. That's what we are. We should just start calling ourselves old age. We're talking about the old age stuff, baby. Anyway, so let's end this picture. I think everybody gets the point. So that's kind of how we wanted to open up, right? And show exactly what we mean, right? Get it down to, there's no more question. We know what we're talking about here. And another thing I want to talk about is we're going to play the clip, but I think most of everybody watching this has probably seen The Matrix. I don't know if you guys ever seen this movie. It's The Matrix. It's got this guy Keanu Reeves in it. And there's a scene after Neo gets unplugged from The Matrix and he's on the ship in the real world. Morpheus takes him into some programs to teach him, right? And he's going to teach him Kung Fu. And so they're fighting and Neo's not doing that well. Like Morpheus is smacking him around and Morpheus is trying to like get Neo to see it and to understand. And so when they're fighting, there's a point at which Neo's on the ground and he's breathing really heavy and they're having a conversation. And then Morpheus just looks at him and goes, "You think that's air you're breathing?" And so that's what we're talking about here, everybody. You think that's air you're breathing right now? Come on, man. We all know it's all spirit.
Spirit is the wind of God.
Yeah. Or as the immortal Dougie Fresh says, spirit, some people hear it, some people fear it. Spirit, some people just can't get near it or won't get near it. That was from the Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack that I had.
Oh, how funny. I didn't recognize it. I recently watched that with Cody.
Ghostbusters 2? Oh,
I think we watched that one.
I'm talking about 2, the original 2.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s. Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like Ghostbusters 2, and they say it's someone with the ladies. I'm like, that's not Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, yeah. No,
that's
sorry.
Just bad Ghostbusters.
If I implied that in the last time we talked about it, I apologize. Cody was like, why did you say it was like the latest Ghostbusters? I'm like, I don't freaking know. I don't watch these things.
Yeah, we call that one bad Ghostbusters because the Ghostbusters are ladies. I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it was terrible.
Terrible.
I'm so misogynist. Listen, you can get one or two funny ladies together, but come on, four. Come on, you guys know. No, I'm just kidding. No, I know some very funny ladies. I shouldn't say that, but I like to be funny. So anyway, so we want to ask you, you know, as a viewer, do you think you might be a secret materialist and don't even know it? Do you believe in materialism? Like, are you a freaking materialist and you don't even know it? Like, that's so crazy. or was I? Yeah, because materialism is like, you know, evolution, you know, we the Big Bang Theory, all that kind of fun stuff that, I don't know, you know, people are like, you're crazy, you don't think evolution is real? And I'm like, do you have any evidence to support your claims? Yeah, so we talked about putting material over spirit, so you guys get that. And again, we want to reiterate that different words mean different things to different people. So we found that, like, whenever somebody attacks, like, whenever you're correctly attack, whenever you correctly attack materialism, you know, if you can defeat it in a way, and you talk about energy and all this stuff, people start to call you new age. You're like, oh, you're all new agey and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, we are all one. Like, Sharon and I might say, oh, we are all one on some level. Like we said that in a podcast, like on the spiritual level, maybe we are all part of the same energy and we're just somehow diffused into these different pieces that gets free will, right? Mm-hmm. Or you hear people say, I am God. And then people will be like, you're not God. Mm-hmm. You blasphemer. How dare you? That's new age bullshit, right? But I think on some level, and we'll get to that, if you are creating your day every day and you are energy that's creating ideas, and, you know, like Davin says, I always like to give him a shout out for this. I can't talk today. Is how he says he thinks the universe is a story creation machine. So if you're creating your story, as Davin would say, from what's that, Nivad 17 astrology, check them out, everybody. If that's what you're truly doing, then in a way you are God, part of God, perhaps, you know, in essence. I don't know how it works, but I think it could be said in a way that's not new agey. But of course you could be like, I'm God and I could do whatever I want all day and I don't have to do nothing. And then you start to wander to that new age territory.
Yeah.
But go ahead if you want to.
No, I was just,
say your piece on that. Yeah. And I think that it's really like we create our daily life. We are the creators in one level. You know, you look at it in one sense, and that's a way you can look at it. And I think that if you could start to view and walk through your life with that point of view, that's what helps. It helped me a lot, especially in 2020 when everybody started lining up for this experimental medical serum, you know? And I still hear people and they'll be dismayed about other people doing it, even people that they don't know. They're like, oh, what about the children and all this stuff? And I understand it is terrible. Like, those people should be put in jail, allegedly YouTube. But it's, you know, it's crazy on one level. And that's the thing too, right? So with your point of view, person who's watching the show, if you agree with what I said, you know, that's crazy. You could see that that's one level, and then other people have different levels of viewing that. And some people would say, no, that's humanitarian. How dare you not do that? You're going to hurt people. So that's kind of what we're talking about when you look at it on certain levels about creating your own life. I think I was going to say something else. It'll come back to me. But the biggest distinction here between these two points of views, which is the upside down or the right side up pentagram, the upside down pentagram, would be kind of, you could also divinate or deviate or whatever, separate these into two different groups of people, which would be, one would be slaves and one would be masters. And now I don't have to tell you about words and how words change and how different people have different meanings for words when you say the word slave, right? You could probably get shot somewhere for saying it. But what we're talking about is internally, right? So some people are slaves to their own brain, we could say. And some people are masters of their own brain. Now, this isn't a class thing either, because if you believe in like the Illuminati or these people that have like pentagrams and they're part of the families and the Rothschilds and all this stuff, and they believe in all this devil worship or whatever, they're still slaves though, if that's their symbol. So even though they think they're on top, and this is my, of course, this is all my point of view, right? This is how I see the world. I'm just sharing my worldview with you, everybody. So if those people, even if they're the top of the top calling the shots, they're still slaves because they still worship that pentagram. They still worship the material. They still maybe the people at the top are like super evil and they're like trying to go up the evil way. I don't know. I'm not talking about everybody, but most of those people are slaves themselves, all the way down to the lowliest person that's on the street. Or, you know, homeless people. There's probably a lot of masters that are homeless out there, like, fuck this shit. So maybe I shouldn't say that, but, you know, down to the most hardest worker or whatever, you know, like minimum wage or whatever. But then there's also people that exist in these classes even higher up, I believe, you know, in places of power, all the way down to humble people like Sharon and I, who are masters, or we attain to be masters, or we aspire to be masters every day in our lives. And it's just because of the way that we view life, basically, and the way that we view our circumstances. Because when I was talking about free will earlier, I feel like the true free will that we always possess in every moment, because we could be locked in a cage and we wouldn't be able to go express our free will in the physical world, but we could still always choose to, or choose how we feel about whatever is happening to us. We always have that choice. No matter how bad it gets, we always have that choice. And you could see that sometimes in like movies when the good guys sometimes go out and they die at the end or whatever, they're always like, fuck yeah. You know, like America, fuck yeah, we're doing this. So, you know, they go out as heroes, and you could always at any time choose that. And I feel like that is the path of a master. What do you think, Sharon?
When it comes to, I agree with what you were saying about slaves and masters.
How's the chat going?
It's good. There was a question about why are people so afraid of the quote new age. I actually think my understanding of those words is different than most. That's a question by Jen Kendrick.
Yeah, again, that's, I think, another, what we're talking about is the new age movement. We're talking about like different religions. So it's just basically another religion that, and we're probably gonna talk about this a little bit, where sometimes people grow up in a Christian household and they just don't connect with it because they see a lot of the corruption, or they have all these questions people can't answer.
A lot of hypocrisy.
So they'll jump into like Buddhism, and I'm not going to like, I don't want to like slander Buddhism, but, or some of these more new age religions, where just like how you can have Christianity and you could just model your life after Christ and that's all you worry about. Or you could be a super dogmatic Christian who like judges other people and say everyone else is going to go to hell. Just like you could have those two Christians, you could have Buddhists and
that are the same way.
You know, some people are just like, I'm just going to live like the Buddha, live by the golden rule. And you know, if you watch the Oversharon show, you know that we'll tell you we don't care what your cosmology is, as long as you're, you know, long living according to the golden rule or natural law, or aspiring heavily to live that way, then you're cool in our book. And we could just kind of have fun conversations and overshare about everything else. So, but that's what we mean when we say new age. So I hear what you're saying. Yes. But we're old age here at the Oversharon show. We're old age.
We're going back.
We're into that Sumerian text.
To the spiritual. We're going back to the spiritual.
Yeah. We're bringing it back to the old school, to the spiritual. You know, the slave versus master thing, I feel like the slaves are just in the category of materialism. It could be said, maybe you can make some distinctions, but I think that it's in this realm, when you're a slave, you're attached to that material and you put that over the spirit, and that makes you a slave. And then if you view life or view this realm the other way and you regard the spirit and you kind of just trust the plan. And, you know, listen, I know life sucks and shit happens, so I'm not like making judgments on people. So if you don't feel this way, I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you, in my own life, this has helped me a lot. So if you view it that way, that there's a plan, you know, stuff goes wrong and you just kind of accept it. You have that acceptance of it because it did happen. It's true. And you're at that point of it. Really what acceptance is just accepting truth, because if you deny it or if you fight against it, you are basically not able to face the truth, which we always talk about how truth is one of the most offensive things, because a lot of people don't want to hear the truth, myself included. I don't want to hear how beautiful my hair is and how great I am and how awesome my voice is. You know, like, it's tough.
You don't want to hear about your blind spots.
Oh, Jared, how dare you? Yeah, exactly. Sometimes, though, you know, people do. They're doing work on themselves. And
yeah.
But those are always the hard things to hear. So,
yeah. Something you said about, like, this mentality of, like, just allowing something to happen. It just reminded me of, like, when my late husband passed away. Well, it was before he passed away. He was in the hospital and he was in the intensive care unit. And I had gone home that night. It was the night before he passed away, but I didn't know that that was going to happen. Right. And I went home and, you know, almost all those days I was going home because he was there in the hospital for like 5 days. So the days prior, I was very hopeful. And I just was like, okay, he's going to get better. Everything's going to be okay. And that's how I was. But that last final night, he had taken a turn for the worse. Right. And I had to make peace with that. And I had to just, like, let go and let God, so to speak. And I was thinking about this the other day. I went into, like, my closet, you know, the whole, like, Jesus, like, go into your closet and pray. So I went to my closet and I think I even knelt down and I, like, cried and I was like, God, do what you got to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to end, but just do what you have to do and let me be able to face whatever is coming. And so the next day, the doctors told us it's like he's on his last whatever, like he's going today, like pretty much he's like doesn't have much longer. And they had him on a vent and he wanted it out. He did not want to be on a vent. He hated the vent. And so I had to ask him, like, are you ready? And I think I told him to, like, move his eyes because he couldn't speak, right? So I had to be like, tell me with your eyes, like, if you, like, yes, you're ready to go. And he was, and I had to allow it, you know what I mean? I had to allow that to happen. And I had to, in my life, I had to see that as something that was meant to happen. And not in a victim-y way, like this happened to me, but this happened for me. And it was something that I knew happened for a reason. And I was raised Christian. So I was raised to think that, you know, to think that way. Not that everybody does who's raised Christian, but for whatever reason, I grasped onto that concept and ran with it. And I was like, well, clearly this happened for a reason. Like, there was nothing that I could possibly have done to change anything. And so it is what it is, and I must move on. So I don't know, that what you said really reminded me of that. And it felt like it was like a freeing thing, right? It wasn't like a slave thing.
Yeah, 100%.
Like a slave victim-y mentality.
Yeah, that's another way. That's great that you say it's another way to label these two different groups, victims and victors. Wow. Shout out to Topher Gardner, Christopher Gardner, who talked about that in the episode.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So check out those episodes, everybody, if you have not. And if you want to hear the entire story of Sharon and me talking about people that we know that have died, I'm putting a link in the chat right now. Is episode
13,
where we talked about death, 13 and 13.3 or something, or whatever.
13.13, I think.
Yeah, the crazy numbering system I had. So go check out those two episodes if you haven't seen those. Excuse me. And I wanted to give a shout out to Spoons, who's in the chat. What's up, Spoons? And also El Jupiter is in the chat.
Yeah.
Our friend Lore, who is going to be our guest next week. We already recorded that show. So next week's premiere is not going to be live. It's just going to be premiere next Thursday, 8:33 p.m. But our lovely friend Laura is going to be on that premiere. She's yes. from Alaska, and she talks all about a lot. You know, it's great because
spiritual Sharon journey.
Yeah, and Sharon and I are talking. We're like, she reminds us of, or she. How am I going to say this? I can't even. Man, slow down. She kind of reminds us of. Reminds us of us. I guess that's, I just had a problem with saying that. It just didn't sound right. She reminds us of us in our journeys. So it's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. So but yeah, check that out next week. So yeah, victims and victors, it's the same kind of thing, right? So we're kind of just adding on more to all what we always talk about, victim narrative and all that stuff. We're just kind of defining it more. It's the slave master thing, but it's also a materialistic thing versus spiritual. You need to know this, everybody. you know, because when we talk about organized religion, and we always say, whatever your belief system is, if you live according to the golden rule of natural law, you know, it's great. As natural law is defined by like Mark Passio, that kind of stuff, not law of the jungle. But we see there obviously a lot of see corruption in different religions and the control aspects of it. And we talked about this last week with Woodshop, with Nick. We talked about the origins of this stuff and how a lot of these ideas go way back, like before the Bible was even written, and way, way back and all that stuff. So we feel like that also falls into that category, and it's a slave religion. I know this sounds so crazy, mm-hmm. but it really is. And when we say slave, we just mean a religion for a materialist, somebody who's materialistic. Now, again, there could be people who are, you know, going to a Catholic church that are basically not slaves. They could still be masters. You know, they could still believe in this spirit over, they could just have this innate knowing and trust, and they don't need to watch the Oversharing show and get into tarot and symbolism and, you know, watch all these crazy videos and read all these books. They just have that, and that's just the way they live. And that's,
it's again, like an inner great. Knowing basically.
Yeah exactly. So when we talk about different religions and stuff and organized religions, and we talk to somebody maybe who is has that belief or mindset, this is what we mean. This is why we don't agree with it, because the teachings are all really about just do what we say and you'll be fine, you know, and then
if you don't, you will be punished or you will go to hell or something like that.
Yeah. You're going to go to hell and all these other people are going to go to hell and they're terrible. And you got to fight about this stuff and you got to convert people. You know, you got to go out there and show them the word of God because they're going to go to hell. Don't you want to save them? Don't you want them in heaven? On the golden paved streets with you. Listen, guys, I know about all this stuff. The streets paved to gold. They would just say that when I had that born again Christian church I went to. They love saying that. But anyway, yeah, so that's kind of what we're talking about. And you could just look at the fruits of organized religion throughout history. Kind of, we were talking about it a little bit last week, but if you just look at, you know, like Catholicism and what it led to and the fall of Rome and all this stuff. Well, I mean, who even knows, right? The real, what
right.
really happened.
Right.
But what we're told, you know, all the debauchery and overindulgence. And you can also trace back this stuff to like Emperor Constantine and how men got together and created all this stuff. So if these religions were so great, then why is our history so insane with like just wars and, you know, crusades and burning people and all
burning
this stuff,
witches, witches.
Yeah, or just, you know, everybody got burned at the stake, you know, like, especially during the, what was it, the Inquisition, allegedly, right? They're burning people and cutting heads off. Well, that was the French Revolution, but yeah. It was crazy. So that's, you know, I mean, we don't really want to shit on organized religion too much, but this is kind of what we're talking about. And it's kind of like it's a collective solution, you know? I don't know if we're getting ahead of ourselves, though. I guess, yeah. And what do we mean by a collective solution? It's like, it's the same thing in medicine. So if you're somebody who doesn't believe in this experimental medical serum, like we're talking about, if you look at it, it's because they're trying to say there's one answer for everybody. Everybody line up, you'll be fine. You know, we're gonna beat this, right? Everyone's got to do their job and line up. We see the same form of control or the same idea or whatever it is, that idea of we got a one size fits all for everybody, and Jesus is his blood to save everybody, and it's gonna be great, and we're all gonna have a party when, after we die. What about now? No, now you're my slave in this world, you are my slave, and you'll do what I say. Yeah, so
you'll pay your tithes,
you'll pay your taxes and your tithes and all that fun stuff.
You come to church and you know, you better come to church. Where were you on Sunday? I didn't see you at church.
Yeah. And there's coffee and later. So you got to bring some coffee cake and donuts or whatever, you know. But again, sometimes people find that and they get a good community and it works.
Yeah.
For them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's different. You know, we're Sharon and I are just sharing our own experiences, and we know that other people have the same ones. So, and the next thing we want to talk about was idol worship, right? So a lot of people will see direct idol worship in all these organized religions, but we also take it a step further where we were talking earlier about creators, right? And how we feel like we're the creators, we're all together in this and we're all creating. So I feel like the need to know that there's a creator and there's a creator above that's taking care of me, and I'm gonna, you know, I trust the creator and all that stuff. Well, see, this is hard because you got to trust the plan, right?
Yeah.
But if you're starting to
worship it.
Yeah, exactly. If you're starting to worship this creator, and I guess just in your actions, right, and judge people because they're not worshiping the creator and all that stuff, I guess, you know,
right?
You want to say anything?
Yeah, it's just an interesting thought exercise to think, like, because I was thinking to myself too, like, I've become very open-minded about just, you know, my worldview. So if somebody outside of me or, you know, around me is yelling and they're fighting, and one of them saying, there's no such thing as a creator, and the other one is, yes, there is. Again, there's the division, right? Like, why are you fighting about whether can you prove it? Can you prove that there's a creator? Clearly you can't, because that other person doesn't believe that there is. So in fighting about it like this and having to feel like you're better than someone else because you think there's a creator versus someone else who doesn't think there's a creator, you're already exercising that judgment and throwing them under the bus for believing something that you believe differently about, right? So to me, it's egoic. It's like the same thing when you're like doing a debate, when you're debating somebody. It's like, what's the point? What is your purpose in debating anything, right?
Sharon must believe it. Yeah. And again, people, we're not we're not saying this to like judge people or say, hey, we're better because we don't do this. No, we're trying to point out people's blind spots. We're just trying to say, hey, you want this information? If not, tell us to fuck off. It's fine, whatever. But we're just trying to, you know.
And or like, if you don't like it, you don't have to listen, you know? We're just pondering, speculating.
Sorry.
What?
Exactly. But Zero Last said, worship is not what the gods want. Exactly. Precisely, my friend Zerlath.
Yeah.
Precisely.
And worship has, I was watching this video about it. Worship has this negative energy inherent in it because it's like elevating something to, it's idol worship. Like it's elevating something to a level where you feel like you're inferior and that thing is superior or whatever, right? You're just like, you're not good enough or you, something's better. That's just not a good energy. And it's not the same thing as reverence. You know, Worship and reverence are two different energies, I think.
Yeah. And it's not like we're against all forms of debate. Like people can still have fun debates about like, what's better, Star Wars or Dune? Or like, you know, or you could still have a debate about like what God could be and all this stuff. But it's like, are you having a lighthearted, fun time with friends? Or are you like trying to prove you're right and you're getting emotional and it's like ruining your whole day? You know, that's what we mean.
Yeah.
Because life's too short, man.
Yeah. That's the thing. I don't like to debate about stuff like this, the stuff that you and I talk about. That's why I enjoy talking to you and being in the live chat on our show, because our show isn't, our viewers and listeners aren't, they're not contentious, or at least they don't seem to be on our show. So they're open, they listen, and even if maybe they see something differently, they may comment, but there's no, I don't feel this like negative energy of like anger and like, I'm better than you and you're wrong and you're this, that, and the other. It's just like, oh, I guess I saw it differently. I see it kind of like this, you know, that's the spirit that I like to discuss these, you know, polemic topics.
Yeah, exactly. And it all really comes down to you know, victor, like I was saying. But Spoon says, would you say worship is the root of a lot of problems? Oh, let's give a shout out to Jen Kendrick. She says, this is legit my life the last few weeks, having people need to correct my astrotheology, suggesting I'm new age because I give people grace for their beliefs. Yeah.
Oh, wow, Jen. I'm so with you right there, girl. I get it.
Yeah. And Spoon totally says, would you say, yeah, no, I hear you. Spoon says, would you say worship is the root of a lot of problems, not only gods, but relationships or materialistic? Yeah, it's the classic pit and pedestal. And if you have something or an idea or a creator or something that's on this pedestal that you're worshiping, that means that something has to be in the pit. And, you know, if you are a creation, if you believe you're created by a God or an all father or a creator, do you think he would really, why did he create you? Did he create you? If he's this all knowing being, did he create you for worship, or did he create you because he wanted to see what you would do? You know?
Yeah.
Like, and either way, I mean, you could still be a worshiper. We're not judging you. And I'm sure you're still making your God happy because you're still doing something with your free will. But what if you could create another story or write a book or do some art or go for a walk in the woods, you know, or go swimming or whatever, something like that. Just get in nature, something, whatever, create. And don't you think that your creator would be much more happy with you? You know, I don't know. It's just a question. What do you think?
Yeah. It's funny because I was recently, and I think it was because of the episode we did with Woodshop, that I was going back in my mind to this book that I read some years ago. And I think I mentioned it in a really old episode. I don't even remember when. I think I have it written down somewhere, but it is at the website Judaism VS, which is for verses. Christianity.com. It's a very interesting book. You can read it all online. They also have it in print. But I read it all online over the span of probably a good several months. And I think it was 2021 when I read this book. And it really opened up my, opened up my mind to different possibilities about what we're living, what we're experiencing. And one of the things is something that you just said, which was like, if God is all powerful and all, you know, it's like, did he create us for, like you said, did he create us for worship? Well, this book kind of made me rethink about it because it was proposing that, you know, God being all powerful, all knowing, so omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, all these things. If he knows every single thing we're going to do, right? Because he has all those powers. Like, what would be the point? Like, that would be boring for him, for God, right? And I'm just saying him because that's just how people.
It's a guy, we know.
It's a dude. God is a dude. But or could it be possible? And this is what this book made me. I'm not saying I think exactly like this now, but it really opened my mind to this concept of like, could it be that God, like, it reminds me of the law of one, now that I think about it, because it's like, could it be that God like held back some of those abilities just so that he could experience all the things that we were going to go through and like, whatever, like, you know, people are like, I'm praying for this and God answered my prayer and I'm, you know, this, that, and the other. Right. So could it be that he withheld those abilities of memory and knowing that what we were going to do so that he could experience us in a way that he would kind of like, it reminds me of like, are we living in the mind of God because we're all like just these aspects and these pieces of God and we're interacting with each other so that it's like God is knowing itself by all the interactions that we're all having with each other in the realm.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting book. Really opened my mind to a lot of things.
It's kind of like if you're Frodo in Lord of the Rings and you're just worshiping Tolkien all day, you know, it's like, that'd make a funny meme. If you're worshiping the creator, you're literally Frodo worshiping J.R.R. Tolkien instead of God.
That's funny.
And he's like, dude, you got to destroy the ring. I'm never going to make a movie out of this unless you destroy the ring. He's like, but Tolkien, you're so great. I love you. Show me the way. He's like, dude. That's it, everybody. That's it for the Oversharing Show. No. Mic drop.
Let's see.
Well, we talked about, I guess we could talk about that new age stuff we're going to talk about too.
Yeah. So, did you want to expound upon that?
Yeah. Well, you did want to say that worship is different than reverence, though.
That's yeah, kind of, I did say that.
What do you mean by that?
I just mean it has like a different energy. Like worship has a more like I said, it's a negative energy because it raises someone to a pedestal. And like you said, if there's a pedestal, then there's a pit, right? Whereas I think reverence is kind of like a respect, you know, it's like, it's respectful. Like Jen was saying, what did she say? She respects other people. She gives people grace for their beliefs. That is respect. That is reverence. That is kindness. That is compassion. She doesn't worship other people. She doesn't, you know, she's honoring whatever works for them. Right. And that's what we try to do. That's what I try to do. I don't need to go and tell somebody, how their life's going to be better and how they can change their life and how something can save them. No, like I don't, unless somebody asks me for some advice, I might maybe make say some words, but I wouldn't necessarily tell them what to do. I would probably ask them to look like listen to their own intuition about a situation.
Sharon, how dare you? You better tell them like, to watch. You better tell them to watch the Over Sharon show. How dare you? Yeah, no, 100%.
That's why we have so few listeners, because I don't tell anybody to watch my show.
Yeah, we don't want to woke rape them. People are like, you have a show? I'm like, yeah, it's boring. I do make some funny jokes sometimes, though, but they're corny and it's boring. You wouldn't like it. I'm like, watch my show. Yeah, I know they'll just get bored in the beginning if they're not into this stuff. So it's perfect. It's great for me, honestly, because we have the best, you know, we say we have the best darn show on the internet. It's only because we have the best
live chat in the internet.
Slaves, we call them, right? The slaves of followers, listeners,
Oversharonites,
watchers. We have like the best Oversharonites out of any audience that I could that I can name. So like Joe says, like Joe P says, it's the only chat on the internet that makes him not want to kill himself.
Yeah, that doesn't make him want to kill himself.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm sure there are others, you know, but you know, we just
there's some great chats, like the spiders or well, I mean,
yeah.
After what happened the other night, I don't know how that's gonna be now, but
it's not too bad, but
oh,
yeah.
Cool, right. Yeah, I'm sure they're all well, they're probably don't really care about yeah, anyway. So
moving right along.
Interesting things going on the internet these days, but one thing you can count on is coming to the Over Sharon show, and you'll always feel welcome as long as you're not trying to talk shit. Guess what? I could talk shit with the best of them. And I'll make you cry and go home, and I'll say things that you'll never forget. So don't start. And you'll say something to me, and I'll just be like, I'll forget it 5 minutes later. That's just how I'm just like, all right, dude. But anyway,
that's me with movies, and maybe
yeah, exactly.
Things people say to me too.
Yeah, I'm just like, all right, like when I don't brood, but I'll say things and I don't, you know, I'm just like saying accurate things about people. That's like, I guess it could be construed as hurtful, but I'm just very observant, you know, and then they're like, how dare you say that thing? And then it like, yeah, but I'm a nice guy, though. I try to be, you know, but if you mess up my show, we're going to get you. We're going to be like, you're drunk, aren't you? We knew it. But yep, yeah,
that's how it be.
That's get it, though. I used to be on the internet. No, I don't know if I was. Yeah, I guess I was on the internet drunk a little bit. I don't know. I didn't really drink much. But we did want to talk a little bit about the New Age and what we kind of see and stuff that I've heard and how I think it kind came to be. So the New Age movement, like we were talking about earlier, you could group all these gurus in and like guru worship and, you know, like meditate all day and give us all your money and you got to bang the guru and all that stuff. That came in probably like the 60s and stuff, I'd say 60s, 70s. And there was kind of a resurgence of it, I'd say like around 2012. And I think what happened was a lot of people were their consciousness. I know my consciousness was raising. I was just seeing things in a different light. And some of these ideas sounded pretty cool. Like I got a little bit into Buddhism and the Bhagavad Gita, which I don't think there's anything wrong with the Bhagavad Gita, but I was getting into this and I was meditating a lot. But something just came along where I used the meditation as like a medicine. And then it came a point where I stopped for a while and now I'll meditate every once in a while. But I think it was like an exercise of a mental muscle. And then once I got it to a certain point, I felt like I didn't need to do it anymore as much. So that's kind of when I started falling out of the new age stuff. But what we think, because this is what happened to me, I got disillusioned with Christianity. I found out about like astrotheology. And I saw that it was just allegedly it's all story written in the sky, in the sky clock, and how all these symbols, you know, like the Christ on a cross and what it means with the winter solstice and all this stuff. So I kind of for a while became like an agnostic or whatever. I saw the control mechanism of it and I was like, oh, this is all just bullshit. So once I started getting into meditation, however, though, I got into that new age stuff, like I was saying. So I think what happens is, I don't know if it's a conscious thing where there's people in control that know what's going on, but so many people get disillusioned with the current, you know, slave religion, the current mind control when it comes to cosmology. So people are getting disillusioned with Christianity. And so I think maybe people saw this and they saw it as a way to make money. I don't know, you know, who knows exactly how it started, but I think that's what happened. Or it's just like a, like we talk about the pendulum swing. It was swinging so far one way that people were able to get people to look into these ideas of like Buddhism and Eastern religions and stuff. Whereas we say that's, we feel, or I feel like those religions, a lot of the ones, the organized ones like Buddhism and stuff, those sects, they're just the mind control of that part of the world, that part of the realm. And it's the people in control. That's their way of mesmerizing the people, right? So, but what happens is people get so disillusioned in this country. They see these ideas because you have the internet, everything's, you know, information is everywhere. So they just get sucked into those ideas because it feels more real to them. And again, I think it's like a raising of consciousness slightly. So I feel like that's really what happened with the new age and where that's going on. And, you know, people see that with like the government or the CIA and all this stuff, but then they can't see it with like religion leaders and all that stuff. It's crazy because it's like the same kind of control. It's the same kind of trap. It's just a different color or whatever, you know, it's like, yeah, a mouse trap painted black instead of white.
If like the controllers or whatever invented this new age movement, right, to kind of trap people, why wouldn't they be the same people that did it ages ago and made up like all these other religions and Christianity and stuff, you know?
Yeah,
to trap people. And okay, even if that's not the case, even if there's no such thing as like controllers making up these things, these people got together and did it, you know, even if it's not like one umbrella of like, oh, we're going to make all these religions and these people are going to, no, but like you said, Constantine was like, in my region, in my realm, in my area, I'm going to make this religion. You know what I'm saying? Like, and every little realm did it for themselves. Could it be, you know?
Yep. And then the internet comes along, or, you know, all these things come along with connection, and then it's just shared everywhere. You know, it's, and then people see that, you know, and maybe they're true believers, or some of them are, maybe they're just scam artists, but, you know, scam artists do exist, guys. I was a car salesman for like 8 years. And a manager and all this stuff. I've seen, not that all car salesmen, there's some that are really nice, really good dudes, but some of them are like, whoa, you know, like, yeah. So, anywho, that's a good way to put it there, Sharon. Thank you. Where'd my notes go? Yeah. So it's all the same, right? If you see it after a while, it's all the same thing. And it's all just another slave religion. It's a religion for people who think they're victims because they need to put somebody on a pedestal and somebody in a pit. And sometimes you have to put somebody in a pit to make yourself feel better. And that just leads to you have to put someone on a pedestal because you don't think you're good enough. Could it be? I don't know.
Yeah. I think,
speaking from my own experience, everybody.
Yeah, I was thinking on this, and I think like there's this, like when people feel that they need some authority to tell them how to do it, what to do, or they know better or whatever, I think it's a deep, there's like a deep fear of like not trusting oneself for that. Like, a deep fear of trusting your own intuition, I think, because we were all born in sin. And this is not something I was planning on talking about, but like, yeah, like it kind of goes back to the whole, we were born in sin. So if we're born evil, then we have these proclivities, you know? And so how can we trust our own intuition if we're born sinful, right? It just goes, I think, unfortunately, that's what mainstream Christianity has done to people, is made them fearful of their own, trusting their own intuition, because they're like, no, we have the answer. Jesus is your savior. Don't trust anybody. Don't even trust yourself. Only Jesus can save you.
Oh, Jesus.
Right.
That's me, everybody. So make sure that you support the Oversharing Show. Go to morelawsmoreproblems.com if you want to support somebody who looks like Jesus. Anyway. Karibe says, recently I heard someone say the era of Christianity was from Jesus until 2000-ish, the era of Pisces. And now it's a new era, the era of Aquarius, and it's about women. Oh, Jesus. Does that mean more of them are going to start driving?
They already do.
Oh, too Jesus. Late. I got to get too me late. A big Cadillac.
Well,
Jupiter says, so deep the journey.
Yeah, welcome negative props. I don't know who that is.
Quote from The Wire, the king stays the king as far as continuity of power. Yeah, so true. That was such a good show, The Wire. Oh, man.
What was it?
That was a TV show. Yeah, it was back when I used to actually watch TV. But it rots my brain now. But it's okay if you still do. I'm not going to judge you. Because there's some good stuff out there, allegedly.
Yeah,
but...
I mean, and if you, like, sometimes you just want to relax. You've been working all day or you're tired and you just want to sit on the couch and just, like, zone out. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's what
I do. You're living the goal, you know, you're living your life in accordance to the golden rule. You're not hurting anybody, you know?
Yeah, that's just my own preference. There's some, I'm probably right. Just crazy. I just can't, like, I start to get anxious. I'm like, I gotta.
Yeah. I mean, I watch movies and, like, over a span of several days.
Yeah.
So like I'll watch 30 minutes and I'm like, okay, I'm bored. I'll finish this tomorrow or maybe the next day or the next, you know, takes me a while.
Last time I tried watching The Matrix, I was just like, I watched like 10 minutes and I'm like, I can't even,
I can't do something else.
I'm like, isn't there like, I could be listening to Dune. You know?
I know. I've been listening to The Hobbit audiobook.
Oh, so. How is it?
It's pretty good. I'm in the second chapter right now.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I love that. It's such a good story. Oh, man, if I could be listening to it for the first time. But no, I can't complain because Dune and then the son and that other guy, Kevin J. Anderson, it's kind of a different style than Frank Herbert wrote in, but it's close and they keep the continuity going pretty well. So I'm excited about it. And it talks about all this stuff that we're talking about, like the different religions and how some of them get seated on different planets in the
Holy
local people
smokes.
There's like Messiah. That's how what the whole Dune thing is about. So Paul Atreides comes from this house and he's so basically what's going on is the universe is a bunch of different planets, like humans, or you know, they go away from Earth and they conquer all these other planets and there's space, but there's a war with these machines. And so we finally win the war of the machines. And then, but they make all these strict laws, how you can't have computers that resemble the human brain. So you can't have any thinking or processing computers. So it keeps the whole, even though there's space travel, it keeps everybody at this medieval level where there's dukes and an emperor and stuff. It's so it's really interesting. And so what happens is there's this one group called the Bene Gesserit and they're all women and they have this breeding scheme that goes throughout like 10,000 years and they try to create this person who's like a savior, like the Kwisatz-Haderacht, and he's the one who will show the way. And so in the movie Dune, that's what Paul's supposed to represent, right? So the cool thing is though, so Paul comes from this family of one of these dukes. He's like Duke Leto Atreides, and he dies. He's the one who goes, you know, spoiler alert, everybody. They go to this planet Arrakis, which creates the spice, which is like the whole thing that is spice is like the drug of the universe that everybody does. It makes you live longer. Some people get like prescient visions of the future, all this stuff. And that's how the navigators are able to like take these ships that can just fold space and appear in front of another planet light years away, like in a second. But the only way to do it is to either have a computer, which you can't have, or have these navigators that could glimpse into the future, right? So this group called
the Bene Gesserit. Allowed to have a computer.
No thinking machines. Man, thou shalt not make a machine in the likeness of a human brain. That's the commandment. So my cat's even growling right now. She's like, yeah, the Butlerian jihad. So the Bene Gesserit are this group of women who are like, you know, they're like badass warriors, and they have this certain reverent mothers. If they drink poison, they could change the molecules and everything and make it inert. And if they go through that experience, then they get all this knowledge from all the women in their line, all the future, like the women, they're like voices in their head that can help them and all this stuff. And they can also sense if someone's like telling the truth and all this stuff. So they go around for thousands of years, and they go to all these different planets where there's all these primitive people, and they plant these messiah things. Like one day some lady's going to come who's a Bene Gesserit with a kid, and he's going to make everybody rise up, and you guys are going to fight this, and it's going to be great. They plant all these different stories. It's called the Missionario Protectiva. So this is what happens with Dune when Leto Atreides goes there with his son. And then Leto gets killed, and his son flees into the desert with the desert people. They take him in, and they think he's his messiah. So the Fremen, exactly, which are the fiercest warriors because they live in the desert. So it's so amazing that you could read a story like that in fiction and see how it's applicable to what's going on now with like the messiah, you know, ideas and stuff. It's really great. And also, there's a lot of parallels with Islam in Dune as well. So it's pretty
I think I remember that being a thing. Even the words that they use are very, like, they sound very Arabic, like Mu'adib or whatever. That's very,
yeah, Mu'adib.
Yeah, but you said messiah, and it almost sounded like you were gonna say messiah, which I just heard Chance Garten say that.
Oh, damn it.
And he's like, I've been using that terminology for that concept of like
that's hilarious
that someone could save, you know, like the messiah is the someone could save you psyop or something like that.
Yeah, that's so fucking hilarious. Oh my god, I love, you know how I love puns. So I mean, we're on the Ober Sharon show right now.
Yeah,
Zerlas said Shai Halud, the worm god. Yes, Shai Halud. I love how that's the, they call the, so the Fremen, they call the worms Shai Halud,
the worms.
I saw a license plate the other day when I was on my way to go DJ a wedding, and it said Shai Halud, and I was like,
dude, yeah, that's crazy.
I was listening to Dune when I saw it.
What a sink.
Yeah. If it was a part where they were saying Shai Halud and I saw that, I would have like went crazy.
That would have been even more.
They were talking about some other shit. It wasn't on Dune at the time. They were in some other, but yeah, it was pretty amazing. But anyway, I think we pretty much have this one wrapped up there, Sharon. I mean, we could talk a little bit more, but I think we pretty much covered everything we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I think so too. Shout out to Negative Props. I guess he changed his name, but he's the other Brandon. Remember when I used to call him Other Brandon?
Oh, he's, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, what's up, Other Brandon?
Yeah.
Look, let's
Bonanza.
Let's go, Brandon.
Brandon.
Shout out to Adam. We gotta have him back on the show.
Yeah, but he's probably busy. I've tried asking him and he hadn't replied, so he's probably been really,
oh yeah, it's springtime on the farm, on the homestead, so I'm sure he's cranking along. But I'm sure he does that, and then he'll be like, all right, I could do this day. What's that?
His baby's also due probably soon, like in a month maybe.
Ooh. Or soon,
like that, something like that.
Amazing. So Zerlas said the new movie made me almost want to treat Shai Halud as real. All right, I gotta check it out then.
Oh, you haven't seen the newest Dune? Did Zerlath, are you talking about like, because there's gonna be three parts to the newest series, right?
Yeah.
Is he talking about the part two?
I don't know. Is it out yet? I think he meant
the new
movie. Oh, I don't know. I do know one thing though. I did just listen to Paul of Dune, which takes place exactly after Dune, but it was written by Kevin J. Anderson and the other Herbert, not Frank Herbert, his son, other Mr. Herbert.
Oh, well, what's the deal with those authors?
So Frank Herbert wrote Dune, and then he wrote five other books, and then he died, and his son, you know, was looking for his stuff, and then I guess they found years later, they found all this stuff in a safe deposit box, and they thought it was just like bills or whatever, and it ended up being
more books that he
notes
that
and outlines published. And like floppy disks of like where he wanted to go because he never finished. But before they finished it, so his son was working with this other author at the time, and they were just writing short stories and stuff, and then they found that. Well, that's what they say anyway, but you know,
who knows. It's an interesting
story. Yeah, it's an interesting story. I mean, it could be a good synchronicity. I mean, you got to think somebody like Frank Herbert had an outline, you know, like that dude is, if you read it all, you'll see. But instead of finishing it, they did a prequel, and then they did all these other stories and stuff. So they wrote one book that happens right after Dune, because the one that Frank Herbert wrote is Dune Messiah. That's the one he wrote after Dune, but it takes place 12 years after the events of Dune, whereas these two wrote a story right after Dune, and that would make a really good movie if they if they continued it. I would love for them to do that, because there's this character Aaliyah who's, so Paul Atreides, when all that happens in the movie, his mom's pregnant and she has a baby, and she goes through this transformation where she has to do that thing with the poison I was talking about and become a reverent mother. So it gives her all the lives of her ancestors, like all their memories and their voices, but the fetus gets it too. And she's a girl, so she comes to life fully conscious as like an adult in a kid's body.
Yeah,
so it's like the story in it's called Paul of Dune, and then he also does some chapters where they go back to when Paul was 12, when there was another war that happened and stuff. So it's really well written, so I highly recommend it, everybody. Check it out. But if they made a movie out of that, that'd be great, especially with that character of Aaliyah. She's like 3 or 4, and she's like talking like she's an adult. It's so hilarious.
Dude, that what you just said about like receiving the memories of your ancestors and stuff, that reminded me of like the law of one, when you're at like the sixth density, I think, and you're part of a complex consciousness that shares all of its memories with each other.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that.
Yeah. It's kind of like that. It's really interesting, because the women, if it happens when you're young to you, you can lose control of it. And then the voices can make you go crazy. And sometimes like a prominent voice will stand up like a villain from history and then like take over your body. It's really interesting. So, again, that's the Hollywood aspect of it, but it just demonstrates control and stuff like that. So that's why I like it. And they talk a lot about self-control and stuff. But before we turn this into a Dune podcast.
Yeah, we can totally wind down.
Yeah, we can wind it down. But anything else you want to add to this one, Sharon?
Yeah, just to close it out, I was just going to say that, you know, we don't tell people what to do. On the show, we like to speculate and share our thoughts with people, and we're, you know, we don't claim to know everything. You know, we've come across a lot of experiences that have brought us to our current cosmologies, and you know, we've seen other people around in other, like either other channels or other groups that we're kind of adjacent to, have similar experiences in coming to their current cosmology, which is a reason why we have people on sometimes to share their experiences. But everyone is on their path, and we respect that. And so we just want to give people that, I guess, that comfort that they can trust their intuition, you know, as long as they're living in accordance to the golden rule and they're not seeking to harm anybody, you know, you must learn to trust yourself first. I think that's part of the healing process, is, you know, being kind to yourself, learning that what you have, all the experiences you've had and all the pain and suffering that you've experienced has got you to the place where you're at. And it's all just been a tool to teach you what you need to know right now. So if you allow yourself that ability to be kind to yourself and not judge yourself for all the experiences you've had, you'll probably be able to start learning to be able to trust your judgment, trust your intuition, trust your discernment about your life and where you want to go and what you want to do with it.
100%.
You all can figure out life for yourself. It's possible. You don't need a savior.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more. Can you hear that, by the way? My cat is like going crazy.
Not crazy. I don't hear craziness, but I hear a little light sound.
So. Yeah, she's like growling. It's really funny. She does this when she's up here. See, look, I'll see if I can get her.
Yeah. I'm all trying to turn my head I can see if I go like this.
Oh, she's hissing at my other cat. For some reason, she gets all pissed off when he comes in. She's like, fuck you, man. You didn't pay the rent. I mean, they're two black cats. What do you want? You know what I mean? I try. I'm like, come on. I'm going to throw you in the pool if you don't stop it. Oh, you're such a cutie. Anyway, I guess we should wrap this episode up. But no, you're 100% right, Sharon. And Stacy Sunshine says, it's not a Dune cast. No, Stacy, but I am in talks with a couple different people that are into Dune. And if you know anybody that's into Dune and like has read all the books, get a hold of me if they want to talk on a podcast, because yes, I definitely have a lot to talk about.
You could do a Brandon Bonanza
episode. Yeah, I could do that. I mean, I could even start a Dune podcast too, you know what I mean? If I got somebody else that was into it. But totally. Could totally do that on Brandon Bonanza. But all that, the Brandon Bonanza show is my show. You could find that also at morelawsmoreproblems.com or right here on the Brandon Bonanza YouTube channel. We also have our podcast put out on Podbean, which means we are on Audible and iTunes and all the cool places where you could find podcasts. You could just go to
Spotify.
You could just go to morelawsmoreproblems.com. The links are all there. Take you right to Podbean so you could pick your favorite way to listen to our lovely, wonderful voices. And if you'd like to support us, that's all there. Also, morelawsmoreproblems.com. But the best way to support us is to come every Thursday night, hang out in the chat, whether we're live or it's a premiere. We're always in the chat. So come on down. Shout out to the chat, everybody. By the way, thank you guys for hanging out so much. And I'm glad we were able to make your Thursday night a little brighter. Well, what do we say to the good people, Sharon?
That once you start over Sharon,
then you totally stop being a Karen.
That's right.
All right, guys. See you later. See you next week.
Good night.
Night.